another week and another arrest in the AFC North, and they're now officially tied for the league lead in arrests during the NFL lockout now with four. They're tied with four of the divisions. But, yeah, Cedric Benson, another guy who could not afford to, you know, get in trouble. He's had previous transgressions with the Chicago Bears, and last year he had an alleged assault that was dropped, and so Commissioner Goodell did not suspend him. But, you know, he's another guy that's in the spotlight now, and I think the Bengals, you know, this is the worst possible time to do something like that, because the guy was probably due to make, you know, anywhere between 15 and you know, $20 million or so in free agency. And, you know, had he waited maybe another couple of weeks or so for this to get underway, you know, he probably would have got that contract from the Cincinnati Bengals. And right now, you know, I don't know. I think as we speak right now, the Bengals are probably at least exploring their other options and seeing what else is out there.
Well, it seems every time Cedric Benson gets in trouble, alcohol's involved.
Yeah, that's been his previous situations in Chicago. I think both times alcohol was involved. I'm not sure that was the case last year with the assault. I know he was out at a bar, but I'm not sure if that was part of the detail.
Bar usually goes with alcohol.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, it's never a good thing. And I just think in general, you know, it's I mean, if I'm due to make $15 million, and I'm just throwing that number out there, I'm not exactly sure what the Bengals were going to offer him, but let's just say it was a 3-year contract for $15 million. If I'm due to make that much money, I lock myself in the house until I sign that contract. I'm not hanging out 5 in the morning. I'm not going out, you know, at night partying, or at least putting myself allegedly in these situations to even get in trouble. So the legal system will handle itself, you know, and whether or not Benson and Adam Jones and all these Hines Ward, all these guys are guilty or innocent. But I just think, you know, in Benson's case in particular, he does not have a contract. He's a free agent. I think he hurt his stock dramatically, whether or not he's guilty or innocent.
James, you're a betting man. Does Pac-Man Jones play in the NFL this year?
Oh, man, you're asking me to bet on whether or not I believe him, of whether he was wrongfully arrested or not. That's something I'm not willing to go there. Pac-Man Jones seems pretty confident that he was wrongfully arrested. I guess that is a possibility, but if you look on the flip side of whether or not, you know, he deserves the benefit of the doubt, I think that's really, you know, what's in question. He's been arrested 6 times before. He's gotten in legal trouble even more than that, although some of those issues didn't lead to charge, you know, actual charges. But I really can't answer that question. Adam Jones feels he's innocent. I think everybody, you know, deserves the right to, you know, attorney and sort of go through those legal situations. So, you know, I would say if he's guilty, he's definitely out the league. And I think, you know, lockout or not, Commissioner Goodell is going to lay the hammer down on him. But I do agree with what Don Banks said earlier that, you know, there's with borderline cases like Hines Ward and James Harrison and things like that. You know, if there's a borderline case, I don't think Roger Goodell is going to come down too hard, if at all, on those kind of cases. But with issues like Adam Jones and Cedric Benson, who've been in trouble before, they're repeat offenders, I really think lockout or not, you know, they're going to use their power and rule on those situations.
James, do you agree with what Don Banks said about maybe the Steelers coming down on James Harrison, though?
I think that's a possibility. I don't think it really goes to the ownership level. And I do disagree with Don on that particular aspect of it. I think, if anything, it'll be a ruling from either Mike Tomlin or maybe a group thing from the players. But I think the players are going to stick together. If you notice, James Harrison never made any disparaging remarks towards the Steelers organization. His remarks were more so when it comes to the Steelers towards Ben Roethlisberger and Rashard Mendenhall. So I really think that starts in the locker room. They're going to handle it there. And if it has to, it's going to go up to Mike Tomlin's desk. And maybe Mike Tomlin has a stern talking to James or determines if there needs to be more discipline there. But other than that, I really don't think it goes to the ownership level. Some people are comparing to Santonio Holmes' situation. The difference was Santonio Holmes was about to get suspended, for violating the league's substance abuse policy. And that affects the team. That affects the front office. And that forced the trade. The very different situations. Harrison made comments and remarks, that were disparaging towards two teammates. But other than that, I don't think it goes to the ownership level.
Hey, James, what's Cincinnati going to do with $52.9 million of cap space and having to spend $46.8 million in cash? And that's not even including it when Carson Palmer retires and they get rid of Ocho Cinco. So add $17 million on top of both those numbers.
Man, that is unprecedented for Cincinnati Bengals. I think they should hire you, Vinny. I'm going to write a blog that they need to hire.
No. No thanks. They can hire Ken. He's miserable.
Yes, I am.
I'm enjoying life.
Yeah, that's a tough gig. I mean, man, for ownership to handle that kind of money, and you know they don't necessarily want to spend it. That's been their history. You know, I suggested actually that they. I mean, we've been saying for years that the Bengals really need a general manager,
right?
To handle their affairs. And when you mention all the numbers that you threw out, I mean, I think it's even more important. Just because you have all that money doesn't mean you're going to spend it right. And the Bengals have proven year after year, zero playoff wins in the last 20 years, that they do not. You know, specialize in personnel. That's just not where they're good at. And in this league, if you're not picking the right players, if you're not spending the right kind of money on the right players, you're not going to do well. And so, I don't think this makes the Bengals, that much a better team or contender at all based on what their track record of picking players are. But I think it at least gives them a chance. And it's just a matter of if you have confidence in Mike Brown and ownership to be able to use that money the right way. And based on their history, I don't really see any reason why people would be confident in that.
All right, if we move up the highway a couple of hours north there, Cleveland has $30.2 million in cap space and $41 million to spend.
Yeah, I have a lot more confidence in Mike Holmgren and Tom Hecker, so to be honest with you. I mean, they have a track record. They come from winning programs in the Philadelphia Eagles, Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers with Mike Holmgren. But, yeah, they have – you know, they've been doing a pretty good job. If you look at their last two drafts, you know, I think they've done a good job of, you know, stockpiling picks and adding decent building blocks.
I agree with that.
You know, yeah, for the future. So as far as them spending money in free agency, you know, I think they'll be pretty significant players. They need a defensive end. They need a safety. I think Ray Edwards is in play. Charles Johnson is in play, you know, from the Carolina Panthers at DN. You know, at safety, I think Dante Whitner is a possibility. Quentin Michael, who Tom Hecker had a hand in drafting with Philadelphia. I think he's a possibility. So I think you're going to see them plug a lot of holes because they're the team that needs talent the most. They need to catch up to the Steelers and the Ravens, and I think you're going to see them spend that money and spend it pretty widely.
You think at 12:01 they come out of the box, guns blaring?
I think you almost have to. You know, you don't have time to wait. I mean, if the Browns don't do it, somebody else is going to. So I really think – during this lockout, they spent a lot of time preparing, and really all teams have to do that if they want to, if they want to make an impact right in free agency. And since the Browns are in that position, they have the money, they have the needs, they have the holes. I think you're going to see them, you know, at least in the first day, in the first half day or so, have a big signing or two.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with James Walker, AFC North blogger for ESPN.com here on 105.7 The Fan. James, talking about Cleveland, do you believe that Colt McCoy is their future quarterback, and do they believe it?
They do believe it, yes. Do I believe it? I think it's too early to say after eight starts. I will say this. Colt has shown me more in eight starts in 1 year than a lot of Browns quarterbacks in the past. Now, that includes, Brady Quinn. That includes Charlie Fry, some of the other guys that have come through and the Browns thought could be the future starter for the long term. So I will say that when it comes to those guys, Colt McCoy is ahead of the game. I think he has a lot of the intangibles. I think he has some accuracy that can help him, particularly in the West Coast offense. You know, whether or not he has the arm strength, I think that's been a problem for a lot of Browns quarterbacks. And the only guy that made it to the Pro Bowl from the Browns since 1999 was Derek Anderson, and primarily because of his arm strength. He was able to stretch the field and throw the ball down there to his weapons in Kellen Winslow Jr. and Braylon Edwards. So I think that's probably the biggest question for Colt McCoy is whether or not his arm strength is strong enough. I think, you know, as far as his size and whether you could take that kind of pounding would be an issue as well. But, I do think he's shown some things, but I probably have a better answer for you in the next year or so.
Hey, James, you think the Ravens will be able to sign Marshall Yanda in their 3-day exclusive window?
Well, it depends on, you know, what the market is and whether the Ravens are willing to go with that market. And, you know, pretty much the agent's going to say, look, they think that they can get this much for Marshall Yanda. Are you willing to match? And it's going to be up to the Ravens to say, okay, I think that's a fair number. You know, let's go ahead and work with that number, or say, well, I don't believe you. Let's go out and see if you can get that number. And then if you do, then maybe, you know, maybe we'll try to get you, you know, on the back end and renegotiate. So I think that's going to be the interesting part. You know, I think it's a good idea for Lee to have that three-day window. I think that gives a lot of teams their chances to keep the guys they really want. But as far as, you know, whether or not it's going to be productive, you know, for all cases, especially in a case like Yanda, where you know he's going to get interest from other teams, he's a versatile lineman, and he's going to get money from elsewhere, you know, if the Ravens allow it, I think it's going to be really tricky.
Now, how important is it for the Ravens to sign Mark Bulger?
I think it's pretty important. I think it was a smart move that they did that last year because they thought that, you know, they would make a Super Bowl run, and if Joe Flacco got hurt for a series of games, that they wouldn't, you know, they'd still be able to compete and not miss a beat. And right now, with the way the roster's set up, you know, if Joe Flacco did get hurt, you know, they have a very good chance of losing, you know, a series of games, however long Joe Flacco's going to be out. And I don't really know if there's any quarterbacks out there besides a Mark Bulger that can really fit that role, a guy that's willing to be a backup, but at the same time can come in and not lose you any games. I mean, some of the guys out there, Donovan McNabb, you know, wants to be a starter. Matt Hasselbeck wants to be a starter. You know, a lot of the guys that are capable starters, you know, like a Bulger, Hasselbeck, or McNabb want to be starters. And Bulger is just a matter of whether or not he wants to fit that role or not. He was willing to do it last year. I suspect there's a possibility he's willing to do it this year. And, I think he's probably the best fit for the Ravens of the guys that are out there currently.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with James Walker, AFC North blogger for ESPN.com here on 105.7 The Fan. James, we talked about the guys that the Ravens should re-sign that are currently on the roster. Who are some free agent targets from other teams you think the Ravens could go after?
Yeah, that's the hardest part to determine because, you know, teams aren't necessarily, you know, letting guys know, you know, who's out there. People have mentioned not the odds. I really don't see it. I think the Ravens' primary focus is taking care of their own guys. I think Marshall Yonder is going to be the first guy, you know, that they talk to. And then I think, you know, guys like Haloti Ngata that they want to sign long-term after that. As far as outside targets, you know, it's hard to say. I can't really give you too many names because it looks like they filled their cornerback position. So it looks like they're probably going to sign one of their own guys there, you know, whether it's Chris Carr or Josh Wilson, and then sort of go outside. So it's really hard to say right now. It's something that I probably should make some more calls and look into. But right now, you know, a week before free agency, it's kind of hard to give you some firm names.
You mentioned Carr and Wilson. If you were the Ravens, which one would you sign?
I would say Carr, just because he's more affordable. You know, I think, you know, Wilson's a little bit better player, but Carr's more affordable. And, you know, with the economics and everything, the cap is actually going to be smaller, projected to be about $9 million smaller than it was 2 years ago, last time there was a cap. So you got to be smarter with the money that you spend. The cap is expected to be about $120 million. And so, you know, if you can get a Chris Carr versus a Josh Wilson, where Josh Wilson may be a little bit better player as far as his grade over Chris Carr, but you can save, you know, $1 million or $2 million per year with Chris Carr, and I think you go with Chris Carr.
What do you think about the rumors linking Steve Smith and the Ravens? Would you do it if you were the Ravens? And what do you think the compensation would be from Carolina?
Look at the Anquan Boldin trade a couple years ago. The Ravens gave 2 mid-round picks, a third and a fourth, I believe. And I think with Steve Smith, you're probably looking at the same thing, maybe even lower because, you know, Smith is, you know, a little bit further along in his career, probably at the tail end of his career, and wants to get out of Carolina. So I would say maybe a fourth or, you know, just a third would probably be his price tag. It doesn't really sound right for a player as good as Steve Smith, but you also have to consider, you know, the situation. This isn't a league anymore where teams will give up, you know, where the Cowboys gave up 2 first-round picks for Joey Galloway. It's just not that kind of league anymore, particularly in the trade market for wide receivers. So I would say, you know, that's probably the mark for him. Whether it makes sense, I think it does make some sense. You know, the Ravens are, you know, this is the year for them to pretty much go for broke. You don't know how much longer Ed Reed is going to play. You don't know how much longer Ray Lewis is going to play. That window is probably going to be open for another year or two. And if the Ravens feel like they're, you know, they're that close to a Super Bowl, maybe it is time to make a desperate move like that and, you know, go for a player like Steve Smith. You don't know if Torrey Smith is going to be the guy that's going to come in and be that deep threat right away. I think really the only question mark is who do you put on the bench? I mean, Anquan Boldin is not going to sit on the bench. Derek Mason, maybe you could put him on the bench, but he's not going to be happy. Steve Smith has been a starter his entire career, so maybe you talk to him first and say, hey, if we make this deal, are you willing to be our number 3 receiver? And then based on his answer, I think, you know, that kind of weighs in on whether or not you make that move.
Hey, James, did you believe James Harrison's apology?
Well, these are always tricky because, you know, when guys are apologizing, you wonder if they're apologizing for the comments that they made or apologizing for the backlash that their comments created. And there's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think Harrison, you know, sort of regrets some of his choice of words, most definitely. But I think the message, you know, I'm not sure he's, you know, regretful of the message that he had. You know, James Harrison is a very blunt guy. He's the kind of guy, if you ask an honest question, you're going to get his honest answer, at least in the world that he views it. And so, yeah, I wasn't surprised, you know, in the way that James Harrison answered some of his questions. Now, I think he probably regrets some of his choice of words, but I'm not sure that, you know, his message has changed at all.
Well, I guess I'll ask it differently. How would you feel about the way his agent wrote that apology?
Right.
Hey, I can't say that that happened for sure. So I really don't know. But
let's assume it did.
Yeah, Harrison's a very blunt guy, and you know, like I said, I wasn't surprised at all in some of his responses.
James Walker covers the AFC North for ESPN.com. You can check him there. James, as always, appreciate your time.
Thanks, James.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. James Walker joins us every Tuesday at noon here on 105.7 The Fan.